Hi, this is Jay Shaburk-Dio. I'm a professor in the primary care department at Torrey University, and I'm happy today to be interviewing Lucia Novak, adult nurse practitioner and BCADM, the director of the Riverdale Diabetes Center in Riverdale, Maryland. And today we'll be talking a bit about basal insulin and how to choose between them and best practices in choosing insulins. So you have a very busy diabetes practice, Lucia. There's now many basal insulins to choose from. How do you pick?
That's a very good question, and it's one that I'm asked a lot by primary care providers, especially since we have so many that have come out recently in the past few years. Sad to say, what really is going to drive which insulin we choose is going to be that which is most affordable for the patient. And so bottom line is going to be truly what is covered by their insurance, especially because the newer insulin are so expensive. And so without insurance coverage, some of our patients have very limited medication plans, very high deductibles. So the choice is limited there. But if I eliminate that from the equation, and given everything is equal and all the insulin are equally available and accessible, determining which insulin to choose is, there are some nuances that we must consider, some things about the patient that must be brought into the conversation to help us decide which insulin is the most appropriate.
So for example, what kind of nuances?
Well, for example, what exactly are we trying to address? So does the patient have a very strong dawn phenomenon where the blood sugars are elevated in the morning, and then as the day progresses, they tend to have much improved blood sugars to the point where they may actually have low normal blood sugars before going to bed? That's where you would want to consider, well, what type of basal insulin do we need for them to be on? Do I want one that's truly over 24 hours in duration, because that could potentially cause a problem with hypoglycemia at a time when their blood sugars are within an appropriate range? So it's those kind of nuances. It can also be, how often are they able to take their insulin? How successful are they if it's more than once daily injected? Some of the basal insulins that are available, some of the older, actually their new older insulin at this point, don't have a profile that's 24 hours in duration. They also only come in a U100 concentration. So oftentimes that requires twice daily dosing of the basal insulin to get a full 24-hour coverage, as well as to eliminate some of the large doses that they would be getting if they're injecting over 50 units at one time. So that's where some of those decisions come into play. The newer basal insulin that we have, the degludec U200, the insulin glargine U300, they're concentrated, so they allow for the same amount of insulin in less volume. So the U300, they would be able to administer it in two-thirds less volume than what they're currently injecting, and with the U200, it would be 50% less volume. And so that makes a difference for our patients. If they're really not successful with more than once a day dosing of their insulin, especially basal, that's where some of these longer acting basal insulins would come into play, because they last at least 24 hours. The U300 glargine lasts over 24 hours. And when you're looking at the degludec, whether it's the U100 concentration or the U200 concentration, we're looking at a duration of close to 40 hours with those longer acting basals. So again, it just depends on what's going on with the patient, how successful they are with the insulin that they currently have, and where we're trying to target the control to be.
Okay, now this sounds complicated. So I think of basal insulin, I think of five different insulins. So there's human NPH, and then there were the basal insulins that I was familiar with, which would be insulin glargine and insulin detemir. Mm-hmm. And now there are even longer basal insulins, which would be insulin glargine U300 and insulin degludec. Mm-hmm. So because cost is an issue, when would you use NPH?
NPH is still a very good insulin, and I do use it at times for patients. So for instance, the patient who has a really strong dawn phenomenon, but has blood sugars that are relatively in good control the rest of the day. I actually had a patient who was doing really well with an A1C of about 7.5, but her morning blood sugars were consistently above 200, but she was in the 80s and the 90s the rest of the day. With, I think she was on a repaglinide, which is a glinide medication that she took before lunch and dinner only, and that's all she needed. When I tried her on the U100 glargine or the Detamir, which were available at the time that I was treating her, she was end up with hypoglycemia with the glargine because it was lasting far too long during the latter part of the day. And with the Detamir, it wasn't giving her enough of a peak to address the dawn phenomenon that she was addressing. And again, was lingering too long where it was causing hypoglycemia midday. So that's where I actually utilized NPH insulin for her at bedtime. Again, trying to take advantage that it has a bit of a peak, and that peak is going to occur about 6 to 8 hours after taking. So it was going to time really well with where that dawn phenomenon was kicking in. And then it tends to wear off around the time where she didn't need it as much. So that's one example where I would use NPH. The other time that I most frequently use NPH, I consider it my steroid insulin. For patients who are placed on prednisone for whatever reason, the time that they take their prednisone is the time that that NPH is dosed. The effect of the NPH on the glucose, the pattern of it, when you look at what the steroid-induced hyperglycemia looks like, the insulin that best addresses that kind of profile is the NPH insulin. So I have them take their NPH at the same time as they would take their dose of prednisone in the morning, and we have much better blood glucose control using that insulin. So that would be another time. The other time that I would use NPH would be prior to some of the other insulin being category B for our pregnant women. At one point, it was only NPH, but NPH can be very effective in some of our pregnant women, especially gestational, just because of where their rises are with their blood glucose. And so we can see some really good effect with NPH in that population as well.
So it sounds like you have really been able to utilize the spectrum of basal insulins to really fine-tune your treatment. You have NPH to use at nighttime, or maybe two or three times a day if that cost is an issue. Mm-hmm. Your glargine or Detamir is kind of your intermediate. And for those that really need an extended period of time, or if they need higher doses of insulin, you can use a concentrated insulin. So you really have, this has helped your practice. Is that correct?
It really helps to have choices. Sometimes choices can be overwhelming when you're not sure where to go, but there is an insulin for every patient, and there's a patient for every insulin. So I don't believe that any of these insulin truly replaces the others. I think that you just need to take the onset of action, the duration of the insulin. Does it have a peak? What's going on with the patient? So to know that, you really need the patient to be engaged. You need to know what those blood sugar patterns are. Fortunately, we also have the ability to do continuous glucose monitoring in the professional setting, which allows us to have patients wear those devices for 3 days, a week, whatever, so you can identify what those patterns are. And again, use that information to target which insulin that you think would be most appropriate for that patient. So we have lots of tools available to help us decide. Much of it is experience-based.
Well, that's fabulous. We really appreciate you taking time today to talk with us about how you use basal insulin, and keep doing great work in your practice.
Thanks, Jay. I appreciate that.